And on today's Windy City Crewcast, Steven Rader and I remember the golden lady herself, Bea Arthur. Plus, we encourage you to call because hate crimes legislation is being voted on in the Senate today as we speak. And we're also going to encourage you to come out tonight to Mary's Attic to see us at Windy City Gay Idol if you're in the Chicago area. There is so much news going on. Kirk Williamson and I bringing you all of that. Plus, our bisexual Jack is with us on the Queercast. Wow. It's going to be a memorable show. She was a memorable lady.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 300. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Steven Rader.
Hello, Steven.
Hello.
We're Skyping like the porn people do.
Did you say like the porn people?
Yeah, like the porn people.
I was going to say like Oprah.
Oh, or like Oprah.
Whichever you prefer.
Yeah, Oprah and the porn people.
You could use Skype for other than having like wild sex via the internet. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. You were the one who told me that you... when I asked you if we could do the Queercast from Skype, you were like, oh, people use that for things other than porn?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I have plenty of friends, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And other places.
That use Skype.
You know who you are.
That you Skype with.
Oh, I Skype them. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Hey, this is a really hot show because there's so many things I want to talk about with you. I want to get a couple of things out of the way because I think I know what the majority of what we're going to talk about. But there's two things that all of you listening can get active about today. Today, there is a vote happening. Mm-hmm. There has been a bipartisan coalition of people who have introduced the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act. It is being voted on in the Senate today. Yesterday I made a call to, our representative Kirk and said, vote for that. And then their little intern there said, well, he's actually one of the sponsors of the bill. So I guess he's voting for it. But it felt kind of great to be a citizen and call and say,
yeah.
You know. So I think if you're listening to this and you can still call, and we're not going to know by the time this show goes out how the vote goes down, but definitely if it goes in our favor, call and thank people, because I think that's important too. You can go to hrc.org and find out who you would be calling in your area. But and if it doesn't go down our way, which I hope that it does, but if it doesn't, call and look at how your senator voted and either say thank you or I think you voted incorrectly on this.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's huge. And then tonight we will be at Mary's Attic for the big Windy City Gay Idol. So we'll either be celebrating or going, oh, we're foiled again. But I think we're going to be celebrating as we try to crown the next Windy City Gay Idol tonight at Mary's Attic. So I hope everybody can come out.
Yes, exactly. My love, the Mary's Attic.
Are you here with us tomorrow?
I believe I am because I think someone couldn't.
Yep.
So I think I'm there. But the good thing about Mary's Attic is that and correct me if I'm wrong, the last two winners came from Mary's Attic.
I believe you are right, Corey and Dan.
Yes, both of them were found at Mary's Attic.
That's so funny. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, because I was there for both, and I remember, yeah, both of them. Well, of course, Dan. Oh, is it Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, honey hush.
Yeah.
That man. Mm-hmm. I remember he sang that, I wanna come over, you know.
The Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, and when I said to him, I was like, you know, when a man sings the lyrics, open your back door, open your back door. I was like, that just does it for me, quite frankly.
He's a hottie. I like it when we had like a little tough man win the whole competition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bears were going crazy.
The Bears. Yeah. The Bears.
Dumb Bears.
Dumb Bears. So there will be much revelry and singing tonight at, I keep saying tomorrow because I'm off my kilter, but tonight at Mary's Attic. So come out and join us. The doors are opening at 8 and we start singing at 9 o'clock. So that's going to be a big night. I just got back from Tennessee.
How was it?
I was out on Lake Chickamauga. Something Native American down there. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Right, I wish I could on the Chattahoochee.
I know. It was great. I was on the water with my old high school boyfriend, his wife, and their baby.
Shut up.
On a pontoon boat.
On a pontoon.
And
so you don't have much of an accent coming back, girl. What's up with that?
I don't know. I've had 24 hours back in the Chicago land, and
I see. I come back and it takes a good week.
Yeah,
it takes a good week, and I love that about it.
Yeah, I was twittering, you know, all the way through, and then I got really tired. It was kind of like on the seventh day she had to rest. I mean, I was so exhausted from twittering. I don't know how Miss Demi Moore, Mrs. Kutcher, keeps up, because she had a stomach flu, and that bitch was still twittering.
Really? Really? The Twitter.
It's crazy.
You know, when Barbara Walters twitters, it's time to give it up. That's all I'm saying.
Did you watch the Barbara Streisand concert that was on television?
You know, I did not, because we on Friday, Rob Dorn and a bunch of really, Robert Wharton, who else, Amy Cole, a bunch of really great cabaret and jazz singers did a concert for Season of Concern at Davenport's. Mm-hmm. It was Barbara Streisand's birthday on Friday. So it was called Bab Fab. It was actually Bab Fab 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's this huge concert of Barbara Streisand music, which was excellent. Rob Dorn actually put together four guys, and they did this. Eric Lane Barnes wrote this medley of Streisand tunes that the four guys did in Barbara Shop Quartet.
Oh, my God.
Barbara Shop Quartet. It was really funny and really genius. And so I was at my Barbara quota, you know, on Friday. So I didn't watch on Saturday.
You were Barbara-fied. I understand now.
Yes.
I did not realize it was her birthday. That really, I lose some gay demerit points there, don't I?
I think so.
Oh, that's sad.
I think so. But I'll tell you what, that Robert, it's on YouTube. And if you want to listen to somebody tear it up. My friend Robert Wharton, he sings, what is it? Not Any Place I Hang My Head Is Home. I don't want to be like sleeping, but, what is the song? I don't remember the song. He sings something like you would not believe. Oh, here it is. Where it is here? I found my little thing here. He sang the hell out of When the Sun Comes Out.
Oh, yeah.
When the sun comes out. Oh, my God.
Robert Wharton?
Wharton, Whorton. It's on the YouTube.
Okay, we're going to link it in our show notes.
On the YouTube.
On the YouTubes.
He just, you know, someone told me once, or someone, I was watching some interview about someone who saw Ella Fitzgerald sing for the first time at the Apollo. They said, you know, when Ella sings, you can hear a rat piss on cotton, you know? And it's exactly the way when Robert sings, it's just, he has this way of just sticking it right in the pocket. Just bam.
How do I not know him? Is he a Chicago guy?
Mm-hmm, he is. He's a big cabaret kind of guy. He did a lot of shows recently at Davenport's. He's just, I love his voice. I could listen to him all day long. So.
All right.
That's my little plug.
Yeah, a little plug. Yep. That's a good one.
And then we have to talk about the big news.
The big news. You know what? We're going to come back. Obviously, we're going to talk about the loss of the golden gal, B. Arthur. And but before we do, there's a lot of news in the world going on this week. So many things happening from state to state for our rights. And internationally, so many disturbing stories of the oppression of GLBT people. It's a bit mind-boggling, and some fun juicy entertainment stories. Kirk Williamson, I'll bring you all of those, plus what's going on in the theater scene, and our By the Way segment with our resident bisexual guy Jack. And then we'll be back with Steven Rader. We will talk about Miss B. Arthur.
Still dominating and more fierce than ever, Beyonce's I Am Tour. Beyonce. Friday, July 17th at the United Center. Beyonce. Friday, July 17th at the United Center. Don't miss your chance to see Beyonce perform her biggest hits and songs from the new album, I Am Sasha Fierce, in stores now. Got a big ego. Tickets on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets, United Center box office, online at LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster.com, or charge by phone. Beyonce's I Am Tour. Brought to you by Music World Entertainment and Alan Heyman Mayweather Promotion. Produced by Live Nation.
It's spring, time for flowers to bloom and lovers to love and the Joffrey Ballet to dance. See the Joffrey Ballet's spectacular spring program, filled with romantic stories of young lovers, angels in a starry sky, and a wedding, all told in glorious dance, featuring Christopher Wheeldon's Carousel, set to music from the Broadway classic. Just 9 performances, April 29th through May 10th. Call 312-902-1500 or order online at Ticketmaster.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Connecticut's Governor Jody Rell has signed legislation that removes gender references from state marriage laws. The measure also changes existing same-sex civil union into legally recognized marriages as of October 1st, 2010.
Openly gay state Senator Matt McCoy of Iowa received a death threat last week. The threat was made as same-sex marriage foes continue to pressure legislators, especially Governor Culver, to reverse a ruling by the Iowa Supreme Court that legalized gay marriages in Iowa. Same-sex marriages will begin in Iowa April 27th. Culver has said that he will not amend the state's constitution to outlaw gay marriage.
In Colorado, Alan Andrade has been convicted of first-degree murder in the killing of 18-year-old trans woman Angie Zapata. The jury took only 2 hours to reach its decision, and Andrade was subsequently sentenced to life in prison without parole. Last summer, Andrade beat Zapata to death with his fists and a fire extinguisher when he discovered Zapata had been born male.
President Barack Obama has appointed openly gay Fred P. Hochberg as president and chairman of the Export-Import Bank of the U.S., and Lori Mikhev as a board member of the Legal Services Corporation.
In a huge victory for transgender people born in California, the state's Court of Appeal ruled that any person can amend his or her California birth certificate regardless of the person's current state of residence. The case was brought on behalf of Gigi Marie Summers, a 67-year-old trans woman who was born in California and now lives in Kansas.
New York Governor Patterson said now he would follow State Senate Majority Leader Malcolm Smith's plan to not put a same-sex marriage bill to a vote without being certain it would pass. Previously, Patterson said he would submit the measure regardless of its chances. Smith is behind gay marriage but will not allow a vote if a defeat is probable.
Equality California wants to meet Miss USA 2009 runner-up Carrie Prejean to change her mind about gay marriage. Prejean, 21, a student at San Diego Christian College, said during the pageant that she thought marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Openly gay John Barry was officially sworn in April 23rd as director of the Office of Personnel Management, making him the highest-ranking out official of President Barack Obama's administration.
U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California introduced a measure to let Filipina lesbian Shirley Tan stay permanently in the U.S. with her partner and twin boys. The bill's introduction granted Tan clemency while the Senate decides if it will address the Uniting American Families Act, which would grant same-sex binational couples the same rights as opposite-sex married couples. The Department of Homeland Security has delayed Tan's deportation until April 22nd.
Another 11-year-old has committed suicide as a result of gay slurs received in school. Georgia student Jaheim Herrera hanged himself in his closet April 16th. Herrera's mother and others said children at the school taunted Herrera daily, calling him gay.
And in world news, the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission stated that allegations of torture of gay Iraqis by militias are consistent with patterns of human rights violations being reported from within the country. Iraqi human rights activists confirmed that torturers have been gluing the anuses of Iraqis shut and then giving them a drink that causes diarrhea. The commission has not confirmed all these allegations.
In Senegal, 9 men sentenced to long prison terms for same-sex acts have been set free after winning an appeal of their convictions. The men who were arrested last year are completely cleared of any crime and the case will not be pursued.
The Health Commission of Wales has now made it possible for transgender patients to have access to funding for gender reassignment therapy. Tory Shadow Health Minister Andrew Davies has said this is a long overdue decision. Treatment for patients in Wales with gender dysphoria has fallen well short of standards in other parts of the UK.
In Scotland, a mother has been fined for shouting anti-gay epithets at her son. Celia Duncan, age 42, abused 16-year-old Stuart O'Neill for holding hands with his boyfriend, calling them poofs and swearing at them. Duncan was fined £250, which is about $370.
Deaths related to gay bashing have reportedly skyrocketed in Brazil. In 2008, 190 GLBT individuals were killed, a 55% increase on the previous year. The Grupo Gay da Bahia's annual report on murders of homosexuals found that a transvestite is 259 times more likely to be murdered than a gay man.
Selena Jaitley, a Bollywood actress who participated in the gay parade in Mumbai, India, and called for the termination of anti-gay laws, has been inundated with hate mail and death threats. After serving as the premier guest of that country's first gay magazine, Bombay Dost, she received many anti-gay messages. Jaitley said, "It saddens me that people have so much hatred towards sexual minorities and people who show them support."
And in entertainment news, Logo has decided to cancel Del Shore's show, Sordid Lives. The actors and Shores have reportedly not been paid. A fan group, Save Sordid Lives, has popped up on Facebook and now has over 1,500 members.
On The Ellen DeGeneres Show, Lindsay Lohan said she did not know that her relationship with DJ Samantha Ronson was ending, saying, "I had no idea what was going on. I hadn't seen her in a week. She disappeared." Lohan added that she still cares for Ronson and that she wants to get her acting career back on track.
Supposedly, director Kirby Dick's Outrage, a new documentary on the outing of gay and lesbian politicians, outs Florida Republican Governor Charlie Crist. Outrage looks at closeted gay Republicans who actively support an anti-gay agenda and includes interviews with Congressman Barney Frank, former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy, and gay activist Larry Kramer. The film premieres May 1st at New York City's Tribeca Film Fest.
Angelina Jolie will play the lead role of medical examiner Dr. Kay Scarpetta in a movie based on the novel by lesbian crime writer Patricia Cornwell. If the film is successful, there could be a franchise since Cornwell has written 16 Scarpetta books.
Kirsten Vangsness from TV's Criminal Minds is engaged to longtime girlfriend Melanie Goldstein. She says, "I never thought I would want to do it. Then when you meet the person and you're like, I want to marry you, I don't care if there's a law against it."
Elton John sang at the wedding of tennis superstar Andy Roddick to Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Brooklyn Decker at Roddick's Texas home. Lesbian tennis icon Billie Jean King was among the attendees.
Are Grey Gardens co-stars Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange having a tiff over Emmy Award nominations? Supposedly, HBO suggested Barrymore vie for a Best Actress nod, leaving Lange to contend for Best Supporting Actress. However, Lange reportedly thought that her 2 Oscar wins and screen time made her a Best Actress contender as well. HBO will let both actresses compete in the Best Actress category if nominated.
Liberace, The Man, The Music, and The Memories is slated for Broadway this fall with Waylon Pickard as the title character. The show will recreate a Las Vegas showroom performance by the pianist known for his elaborate costumes and onstage candelabra.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? TNT. Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning May 2nd. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics of the game, including forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT costs $115 and includes a three-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to two social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago. TNT. It's dynamite.
Hello, QueerCast listeners. This is Jack with another By the Way, representing the B in the big gay alphabet. Without a major motion picture or a new album to promote, Lindsay Lohan still manages to land on the cover of weekly tabloids. Now that she and Samantha Ronson have broken up, I find myself being bi-curious in the sense that I want to uncover whether the troubled 22-year-old will now romantically pursue men or women. I've taken it upon myself to see if others are bi-curious by asking a couple of my friends what gender they think Lohan's next flame will be. One bluntly said she will be back after the sausage. Another wasn't sure, but guessing Lilo will go back and forth between dating males and females. Personally, I suspect her next object of her affection will be another woman. A couple years ago, when she was still on the wagon, the Mean Girls starlet admitted that she had a liking for Angelina Jolie, under the condition that the journalist would not run the quote. Sure, Jolie is a beautiful woman, but she's a common favorite among lesbians and bi gals. Good for the redheaded train wreck for being open about having a relationship with a woman after a handful of public flings with guys. Whether Lindsay is bi-curious, bi, or a lesbian, I wish her happiness. Who am I to judge? Most importantly, I wish Lohan much-needed serenity and strength with her sobriety. Everything else will follow. Do you think Lindsay will be dating men or women next? Let us know at the QueerCast. And this is Jack signing off with another By the Way.
Chance to see the mega hit Broadway musical Legally Blonde right here.
Oh my god, you guys. Looks like Elle's gonna win the prize.
Take the journey with Elle Woods at the show New York Magazine calls a feel good song and dance juggernaut. Legally Blonde
begins May 12th for 4 weeks only at the Ford Center Oriental Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture club. Culture club. Culture club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 27th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Magic. Murder. Macbeth. Enter a Scotland racked by treachery and possessed by supernatural forces, a kingdom where loyalty is fatal, ambition is madness, and no motivation is pure. Babes with Blades brings all-female Shakespeare back to Chicago. Don't miss Macbeth, as you have never seen it before. Playing now through May 30th, visit babeswithblades.org.
Timeline Theater presents the Chicago premiere of Alan Bennett's Tony Award-winning drama, The History Boys, packed with poetry, literature, and history. It's a thought-provoking play that tackles the anarchy of adolescence, the anxiety of sexual identity, and the purpose of education. Don't miss your chance to see this worldwide theatrical sensation. Call 773-281-TIME or visit timelinetheater.com.
Remy Bumbo Theater Company presents Harold Pinter's mysterious masterpiece, Old Time, starring Nick Sands, Linda Gillum, and Jenny McKnight. Enter into a daring game of competing memories where everything's at risk. Old Times runs now through May 31st at the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, visit remybumbo.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. Now extended to the Apollo Theater, don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
American Theater Company, in association with About Face Theater, presents Hedwig and the Angry Inch by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, an award-winning rock musical about a young East German who gives up a little part of himself in order to escape communism for freedom in the U.S. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is playing now through May 17th at American Theater Company. For tickets, visit atcweb.org. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I'm on Windy City Queercast.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really cooked. Isadora was the first bra burner. Ain't you glad she showed up? Country was falling apart. Betsy Ross got it all sewed up.
And then there's Maud.
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 And then there's
Maud.
That uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing.
So, Stephen, where were you when you heard the news?
I actually was getting ready to go to... Sounds like we're talking about Kennedy being shot, isn't it?
It is.
Someone's going, Ted Kennedy was shot? No. I was here at home and was about to leave. My friend Philip was doing a reading of a new play of his at the side project, and I was just about to walk out the door and get a text from Eric McCool, you know, telling me that she's passed. And my brother's also gay. So my brother, one of his favorite moments from the Golden Girls is the episode where where Rue McClanahan brings Bea Arthur to this bar with her, you know, and of course Rue has all the men and whatnot. So Bea is sitting there and the piano player starts talking to her and convinces her to start singing, and she sings What'll I Do? And it's really, because she sings the song, and then she doesn't notice until the end that all these men are staring at her.
Mm-hmm.
So she sang this gorgeous, you know, when I'm alone with only dreams of you that won't come true, what'll I do? And then she notices that it's just one of the funniest moments ever.
I think you just blew out every Queercast person's ears. It kind of went...
So my brother, of course, calls me up and just thinks, what do I do? And we just laugh and cried. So sad.
It is so sad. Like, what a legacy of just entertainment for at least us as GLBT people she left behind. And is Golden Girls the thing that you... cherish most from her?
I remember her. Well, I remember two things. I remember her. I was a little boy in the 70s sitting in front of the TV watching Maud. And now, why my parents let me watch Maud is beyond me. But I remember vividly watching Maud and loving it and wanting to be the woman in the caftan, you know, just thinking she was the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember also, I was here, I've been here since, you know, our boys were in Korea. And in 2001, when she came in to do her show, I walk into Sidetrack on a Sunday afternoon, since, you know, I built that addition there with all my drinking, and I walk in, and my friend Scott Amon goes, Bea Arthur's here.
Are you kidding?
No. And I was like, I thought it was a joke. I thought he was going to go, Bea Arthur's here, and she's fucking two gay men in the back room, you know, something like that. You know,
yeah.
I was like, okay. No, so what's the rest of the joke? There are two alligators on Bea Arthur. No, it was true. So I look in the cherry bar, there she sits with her piano player. And a few minutes later, they start playing all these clips from Maud. Mm-hmm. They play all these clips from the Golden Girls, and then they play long, extended clips from MAME.
Mm.
And they have this little platform, and they, ladies and gentlemen, Bea Arthur, and they give her a mic, and she stands on the platform, and the gay men are losing their fucking minds.
Sure.
So she got up and they've just played all these clips from MAME, and she said, thank you so much. Thank you for sitting through that shitty movie. And I lost my mind. I was like, that's genius. And then she sort of invited us all to come to the show, which I did. I loved the show. Great, great show. She would have won another Tony Award, I think, if it hadn't been up against Elaine Stritch's show, which was up the same year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then she, of course, she did the famous thing where she went over to our other Queercast host of Alexander Billings' show. That was the night she went to see Alex's show at the Gentry, and she was drunk out of her mind.
I don't know that story.
Oh, have you never? Alex will kill me for telling this. And she goes in, she walks down the street to the Gentry, which is now gone. And
how many years ago was this?
This was 2001.
Okay.
2001. And she walks in, and Alex says, you know, Alex, of course, brings her up to sing, and she sings Some People, you know, Some People Can Get Out, you know.
Yep.
And she finishes, Alex, I apologize, and she said that, me hands the mic back to her, to Alex, and hugs Alex and says in Alex's ear alone, "I'm so drunk I could fart."
Oh no!
So I think we all need to put that on a T-shirt for B.
I'm so drunk I could fart.
What about you? I mean, how did you? Were you a Golden Girls person, a Maude person? Like, how did you know B?
You know, I really was just a Golden Girls person,
well,
and never had the pleasure of interviewing her. You know, she came through with her one woman show not too long ago, and we had a guy on the Queercast. A couple of years ago, who told some stories about Estelle and Rue and B, because he had written a book. I can't remember the book name of the book right now. See how bad I am in doing my research. You'll have to go. You have to go back to past Queercasts.
Yes.
But yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, God, thank you for being a friend. You know, it's just like that relationship of mother and daughter, the relationship of her as kind of the, just the way her delivery, her comic genius. Like, I mean, the funny thing about those four women is that they each had to play their tone. They each had to play their note for the chord to work.
You know, it's funny about, there's a new clip on YouTube of hers from the, there's some kind of a television arts and sciences thing that I'm, of course, subscribed to and I love it. They're very, very long, long interviews. They do little clips and segments of things, and there's a new one that just went up. And she talks about how she takes her time and how she, you know, what is it Fosse said? If you don't just say something, stand there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very much a person who stands and waits and takes her time and doesn't allow anybody to push her into anything. And allows the moment to happen, and it's why her comedy is so brilliant.
Yeah.
She really just sits with it. And, you know, if you watch MAME, it's a horrific movie. Mm-hmm. She's genius in it. I played Mother Cabrini during Lent. I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, my friends and I still to this day, I was never in the chorus. I mean, I was never in the chorus. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
She really kind of made her own way. Well, there's a story about her singing her first audition.
Mm-hmm.
She was very nervous, got there early, went to a bar, had some drinks, walked in, gave the music to the pianist and sang Summertime and forgot the words.
I love it.
And then asked to sing again. So she got up again, Summertime, forgot the words and said, fuck it. And just walked out. I mean, she's really one of those kind of, no wonder we loved her.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's kind of, it's so, I mean, I don't know. It's not shocking when anybody 86 dies, but
yeah,
I guess we had followed like Estelle for so long and being sick. And, you know, I think it's interesting that she no one knew she had cancer or, I mean, obviously somebody knew, but the mainstream media did not know that she was battling cancer and seems to have gone very quickly.
Isn't that nice though? Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I guess
someone can hold off and not be a target for all these media hackers that are out there just sort of like preying on these celebrities. I think it's a kind of lovely that she was able to take that in her own stride and do what she wanted to do. But even the legacy she gives for television, I mean, if you want to watch two great episodes of television, it's on YouTube, the Maud's Dilemma. Maud's Dilemma Part 1 and 2, all about her getting an abortion at age 47.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in 1976, 77, I guess, mm-hmm. maybe. And I don't think you could do that those two episodes of television today. There's just no way you could have those discussions. You couldn't have discussions of homosexuality on those that level and make them funny and yet make them poignant.
Yeah.
And yet make fun of herself throughout the whole thing. Those episodes are very fine lines of television, and she was really a part of all of that.
Yeah.
The writing's brilliant, and she knows how to do with it.
Yeah.
It's great.
I just found my information. The book that we did the interview on was called The Q Guide to the Golden Girls, and it was by Jim Colucci, and Jim was on our show.
Who's a local writer, right?
I don't think he's local. Well, I don't know. See, now you're asking me questions, and I once again don't have the answer, and I sound
that's just what it is. That's
ignorant.
Why.
Let's just.
I had him. Yeah.
You had him. I had him.
Next.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because you really think. I mean, obviously, we take these television characters, Maude. I think even like Murphy Brown. You know, Ellie McBeal maybe was the next generation. I don't know what it is this in our current time.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh, God, please don't say Miley Cyrus. I was going to say Ugly Betty. I'm trying to think of like that television character that's kind of new, but Ugly Betty's not challenging enough. I mean, I think Ellie McBeal is kind of challenging to form and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, definitely Murphy Brown, Single Mom, and the whole Dan Quayle thing. And then, of course, what you mentioned about Maude and, you know, married to an alcoholic and having an abortion and, you know, just these kind of radical storylines that just were not
she
seen.
Said she couldn't. She didn't want to have the child at 47 because she's too old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about who's having children these days and how that is a completely different world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm too old to have a child. Walter. Mm-hmm. Walter, God will get you for that, Walter.
Yeah.
If music be the food of love, go swallow a banjo. I mean, these are great lines from B. Arthur.
Well, and I would have loved to have seen her in Fiddler on the Roof. I mean, I would have really loved to have seen her do that. And interestingly enough, I was wondering when I read that credit, I was wondering, was she in it with Bette Midler? And would that have been a moment in time, you know, because Bette Midler was one of the daughters.
Yeah.
And I did have a weekend this past weekend where I watched The Rose for the first time in maybe 20 years.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Which she's so brilliant in that movie, first of all. Just so genius. Two, she looks the same. Like, she's kind of chronically looked older than she is and thus younger than she is now.
I hope that's what happens to me.
Oh, I don't know. And I don't think that's what's going to happen to me. It was so funny to watch that film because I so remember seeing it when I was, I don't know, maybe...
young.
Oh, I was really young. But obviously, I didn't see it in the movie theater. I saw it when they reran it on television. But I remember seeing it young and remember feeling very something... when the woman comes back, who was her lover, who's kissing on her, and they're in the bathroom, and then the guy, Houston, comes in, and I was like, oh, yeah, that moment. That's why I always remember as a young age saying, I love The Rose, was because that moment was like one of those moments that Tootsie had one of those moments, and Victor Victoria had one of those moments, and Yentl had one of those moments. It's like all these kind of lesbo moments for me.
Do you like that about The Rose? And my favorite part of The Rose, is the manager going, don't say motherfucker. Just don't say motherfucker. Don't, please, the reviewers, don't say motherfucker. Hell, motherfucker!
Yeah, exactly.
Just makes me so happy. Oh, I can't tell you how happy it makes me.
Those radical women. Well, she was a brilliant comedian. She made all of us laugh. It's sad to say that two of the Golden Girls have left us, and Betty White, man, still just... wow, just doing her thing and sassy and caustic in her sweet and delightful saccharine way that just slips by so many zingers. It's lovely.
Yep.
And Rue McClanahan, there's we just heard in our news that Sordid Lives has been canceled. So Rue McClanahan's, you know, attempt at continuing to support the GLBT community on Logo. Don't know where what she'll do next, but obviously she's been quite a comedic influence even on...
hopefully she'll have a better vehicle than that damn series. That's all I gotta say. No. I'll say it. There I'll you say go. It out loud.
You can say it out
loud. Of the movie, couldn't stand the series.
There you go. I know.
End it.
I loved the movie, too. Oh. And she was in the movie, so that was great.
And she, but, you know, she made, that's what's great about that actress, is she could make that material still funny and still a little, you know, poignant and what have you. And it's just bad. Come get me. I said it's bad.
It's true. We won't come and get you. So Bea Arthur, dead at the age of 86 from cancer, the Emmy Award-winning star of Maude and Golden Girls, we say thank you for the joy and laughter that you brought us and your outrageous outrageousness. And we are going to make T-shirts. I'm so drunk, I could fart. Steven, we'll talk next week. You and I are about to have a Legally Blonde adventure, and I'm super duper excited about it.
I can't wait. When are we doing Legally Blonde? When is that?
In a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks. Yay!
It's going to be fun.
Oh my God, I'm going to get you guys.
We're going to be talking. I'm going to be talking with the ladies who are on the search for Elle Woods, Lauren and Rhiannon.
Oh my God.
I'm super excited. Super, super excited. And on our next show, Megan Carney, I think she is really one of the most interesting perspectives and visions for theater. And as a lesbian, a very interesting person to talk with. She's got a new show that she's directed at called The Walls at the Steppenwolf Garage. We're going to be talking with Megan in our next show. So come on out tonight. See us at Mary's Attic. And I don't know what's going to happen with this hate crimes bill, but we'll know by the next show. Steven, thanks for being on.
Thank you. Lady Godiva
was a freedom rider. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. Right on, right on.